pastor is preaching at Brother Bowman's church, Pastor Bowman's church. It's a real opportunity for our pastor to be able to preach there. So we're thankful for that. Pastor Bowman inviting him into his pulpit to preach. That's a big deal for a pastor to do. So let's be thankful for that. We're thankful for all the churches that our pastor can go to and preach in. I mean, a pastor, remember, he's held in the right hand of the Lord. He's in control of what happens to the assembly and the truth that comes to them. And to see our pastor welcome in so many pulpits says a lot about what we have here at Bible Baptist Church as far as truth is concerned. So always rejoice in that. Always rejoice. We are a true candlestick here. And as I prayed this morning with the men, and we as members here need to beware. The attack comes from within. Satan wants to destroy this assembly. And we will go through tribulation here at Bible Baptist Church. No church is exempt from tribulation and trials. We'll see in some of the churches that we look at today, in Corinth and all that, many trials, many attacks, many things going on. So always, as Brother Jeff said, our church is only as strong as its weakest member. Okay? So help each other. Edify each other. Let's build each other up. Let's love each other. Remember, there's a big fat beam in your eye. Big fat beam. Let the word of God do the convicting in the individual's heart, letting them decide to either receive by faith the truth or by faith not believe and harden that way. We've had trials and false teachers here who felt it was on them to judge and to try and influence members. And that always leads to trouble. The pastor is the pastor for a reason. He knows a lot more that's going on in this church than you think you know. So remember what he's always told us. It isn't getting by him. He sees. He knows us spiritually. All right, today's Sunday school, I do have material to continue through Pergamos. Thank you for indulging me last week in a different type of approach to Pergamos, and I do have material to continue in that, but I wanted to do today a little bit of a topical, because Sunday school gives you kind of a little bit of freedom, so I wanted to do a topical one here, teaching in Sunday school, and there's a lot of different subjects that we're going to touch in here, but basically the question that I've been having because of my particular trials and tribulations and just rejoicing in the Lord, is will we reunite with loved ones in heaven? And really, I've asked myself and our pastor, you know, is it okay for me to look forward to reuniting with loved ones in heaven? And does that usurp the Lord Jesus Christ as being the preeminence? You see, that question has come to my heart because the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to go to heaven because of what he's done, and I get to be with him. He needs to be the preeminence in our life. And when you go through trials like this, you start to, I want to see you. I don't know. And I know this is my own personal trial, but I do not want anyone to replace my Savior. But part of the treasures and the rewards and the inheritances is to be able to be with our loved ones someday with Jesus Christ. And I just want to look at some verses that support that. All right? So turn over to 2 Samuel 12. 2 Samuel 12, and this context here is David and Bathsheba, and their first child was a boy, and the child died early on, okay? And no doubt as a result of their sin. And so 1 Samuel chapter 12 in verse 18, it says, "And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead?" And so David was going through a great mourning period while his firstborn was sick. David was mourning, and as you'll see in the next verses, he was petitioning the Lord. If you see here in verse 19, "But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread? And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, When can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live?" And so what David was doing is he was petitioning the Lord in prayer. He was fasting, he was weeping, he was mourning because the child was sick. So he and Bathsheba were going through a great trial at that time. This was a great trial for David. And if any of you have lost loved ones, it's a great trial. And so David was continuously petitioning while the child was alive, no doubt for the healing hand of the Lord. Verse 23 says, "But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." And so David realizes, of course, that we know quite well, that someday we will go to our loved ones. We will get to be with them. This should be a great encouragement to all of us. And let me tell you, no doubt that truth that David knew, and of course, the inspired words of God that he penned in this book make it true, that David was encouraged by the truth that he was going to be with his son someday. And so that was an encouragement for me. Answering some of these questions that I have about going to heaven, being with my loved ones, our daughter, things to this effect. And right here, you see David going through his trial, the very same type of a trial, and how he transitioned once he knew the perfect will of the Lord. He accepted God's will, and he was ready to continue to do his will in his life. He didn't fall apart. You see that? He didn't fall apart. Now, I know the Bible talks a lot about mourning. I think with Jacob, or was it Joseph, they mourned for a good month. The nation. Right? But right here, David was quick to get back to business. He was encouraged by the truth that he would go to see. "And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him." And so for us that are going to be staying and a loved one goes to be with the Lord, we go on with our lives and the Lord continues to use us and bless us. Just as Job, who went through a great trial, was blessed and used by the Lord in his life. So to encourage each one of us, the Lord is going to continue to use us. Be a vessel usable unto him unto honor. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep living for the Lord, doing the Lord's will. And if you do that, if you stay in that right place of faith, these words that David knew to be true about his son that he would go to someday are an encouragement to David. But if you decide that you don't want to continue for the Lord, or you get bitter, as we've been taught, these words that he would go back to his son don't seem to be a reality. Your faith wanes, and you become weak, and you fall away. In the fight, wear your armor. Be strong for the Lord. Life is full of trials. We're going to go through them. Today is a good day. We walk by faith today. We walk by faith tomorrow. And if tomorrow ends up being a trial or tribulation, don't ever let go of that faith, because it is the rock that you need to hold on to make it through, so you can continue to be used by him, because that's all the purpose, is for his glory, to be used by him, to glorify him. That has to be your purpose, first and foremost. If it is, if you have this, you're able to look at the truth of being with our loved ones someday, and you rejoice in it. But if you're not here, you will not have that. So we saw David. We saw his perfect faith in the Lord. Turn over to Matthew 17, please. Matthew 17. Matthew 17 and verse 3. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto the Lord, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. Of course, we know the context surrounding Peter. I'm not here for that context. I'm here for the context that we will go to see our loved ones in heaven. This is our second witness to show that Moses and Elias were alive and well. And Peter saw them. They are still alive and well. They're in heaven. And someday we will be with them. That's what this teaches. Yes, the Lord was transfigured here. He was glorified in his transfiguration. The Lord was the center of everything that was happening here. He was lifted up. Remember what the Father said to Peter. This is my son in whom I am well pleased, right? So the Lord is right here. In your heart, he made it happen. But it is okay to know that your loved ones are there. And you should rejoice in joy that part of your inheritance is to be with them. That's wonderful. That's comforting to know when you've lost a loved one and you know they know the Lord, or you're losing somebody. Turn over to Matthew 8. Matthew 8 and verse 11 says, And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. There we go. Kingdom of heaven. We're all going to be there. We're part of the many. And we're going to sit with them. What would make you think that your loved ones aren't there too? That's a wonderful truth. That's my third witness. You're going to hold to the Word of God. Our faith is in this book. That these are the true, inerrant, inspired, preserved. Thank you, Don. Preserved words of God. This is my authority. This is where my faith is truly in my life. One time my son said to Bernadette, many of you here know Bernadette. She was a member here for many, many years, Kirsten's mom. And she, in her last days when she was sick, she waned in her faith a little bit. And she, August was the first one to talk to her. First one. When she started, when we saw this change in our beloved mother, my mother-in-law. And August said to her, Grandma, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe that Jesus is God? You see, can anyone here who knows him as Savior shake that truth today? Can anyone take that from you? I mean, really, I know that to be true. There's no way I don't know that Jesus Christ is God and that he died for me. I can't change my mind on that. It's not possible. My faith is there. You understand what that is? That's called faith. That came from God. Don't get me wrong. We didn't do that ourselves. But is that kind of faith that we need to have in these words to get through the trial and not fall apart and to be able to continue to glorify him by obedience and doing his will today? We walk by faith today. Don't plan too far ahead, guys. Get it done today. And I'm so thankful that all of you are here today. Go to 1 Samuel. Let's see. 1 Samuel 28. 1 Samuel 28, I'm going to start in verse 11. This is where Samuel goes to the witch. Where Saul goes to the witch and wants to talk to Samuel. Okay, you guys know the account, but I'm just going to read 11 through 15. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, what? Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said, unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me. And he goes on. But the point, there's a context here. I'm not going to get into the context. We know the context. We've been taught it many times. But Samuel came up. Remember Shio, Old Testament saints. Remember from Lazarus, great chasm, one side hell, one side paradise. Samuel came up from paradise. Samuel is alive and well. This is our fourth witness that our loved ones who have trusted the Lord are in heaven and that we will meet them again. And we should want to. It's okay to want to. Turn over to Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to just read verses 22 through 24. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. That would be the new Jerusalem. And to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You see, when I now, and I've for many years, but now it means so much to me, when I look at the night sky, or even the day sky, as I'm walking down my walk to my home and I look up, I so often think about the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that there is a new Jerusalem up there that's physical, tangible, and is our home. And I look up, and this is a picture, this is a description of that. You see, what happened in the book of Hebrews is he describes everything that prefigures heaven with the tabernacle and the temple. It's all a prefigurement of something that's real and is in heaven now. And this is a picture or a description of it literally. We are going to be with our Savior. He's mentioned here. We're going to be with an innumerable number of angels. You have to try to grasp this so that you can have joy. This is real. Problem is, a lot of times it takes the trial to make it real. That's the problem. And we don't like the trial, but it's necessary. That's why David said, chasten me, O Lord, you know. He knew. He knew what was necessary. But for me, and I pray for each one of you, especially those who have lost loved ones or are going through it, this is our hope. This is our inheritance. This is where my joy is. My joy is not here. Look, my joy is in my children. Don't get me wrong, and my joy is in each one of you who is here with me. And it gives me no greater joy than to see my children walk in the truth. But I so look forward to be with my Savior. I look forward to these trials being over. And I look forward to someday, if my wife goes there before me, being with her. This is all okay. And these are the questions I was asking myself. You get confused. Lord, praise God for the trial. All right, so that was Hebrews. We were in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's move over to Matthew 26. Like I said, a bit topical and not getting into the context so much, but addressing topic. Matthew 26. I want to look at verse 29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. We are going to worship the Lord together in His Father's kingdom. That should mean something to you. It means a great deal to me now. I understand what it means by the trial being necessary. And I understand also what it means if that doesn't grasp you so much right now. But don't worry. If you know the Lord is Savior, He's going to teach you. I promise each one of you, He's going to teach you to adore that truth. He wants you to. We're going to worship the Lord together. Together, each one of us. Love each other here. John 14, please. Thank you so much. John 14. John 14, looking at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. That would be Jesus Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye there ye may be also. How many witnesses is this now? Is this witness number 2? That the Lord is going to be there with us? That He's prepared a wonderful place for us? Far better than where we are now. Even though the Lord has been merciful and gracious to us here. It's only the tip of the iceberg for what waits for us. Let that be known to you in your hearts as reassurance that when we lose our loved ones, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. David knew that. David knew that. When his son died, he got up and he was about the business of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? That's how we ought to be. Revelation 21. Revelation 21, starting in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. In other words, no more barriers. No more barriers. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven say, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write these words, write. I love this, write. And then He says, for these words are true and faithful. That should mean something to you. If it does not mean something to you right now, it's okay. The Lord is going to make it mean something to you. I don't mean that as a warning. It's how He works in our lives to help us grow. Because this is true. You better make sure you know the Lord. Because you think you got it made today. But someday, all there is going to be is this. And it's coming. And it could come sooner than we think. And that actually should be our desire. Not because we want to see our loved ones, but because we want His will to be done, not ours. Set up your Son's kingdom. Because that's what the Father wants to do. See, I had to get that straight too. See? When you're going through a trial, your will becomes precedent. Because you're hurting. Lord, hear me. The Lord said to Moses, stand down, Moses. Stand down. This is my Son. I'm not worried about you. Sorry, Moses, but you've already got more than you deserve, so you're all set. I'm telling you, it's wonderful to grow in the truth. Luke 23, if you look there, in Luke 23, and I'm going to look at verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We're going to sit with the thief on the cross. He's there. He's in paradise. You know, the mansions that God, well, we'll know what that means. When the King James translators translated mansion, I think what they were trying to find is the most wonderful, best place on earth. And at that time when they translated it, mansion was the word that they came up with. We'll see what that means. But it's going to be amazing. More than we ever deserved. Yes, we'll be with Jesus, first and foremost, and the thief on the cross. He will be there. He's there now. With Abraham. With Isaac. With David's son, with my daughter, John 16. Yeah, we're just jumping around here. John 16. John 16. I want to look at verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you. That day is coming. You're going to have perpetual joy. To live for the Lord today, we are promised no rose garden as Christians. You see, that's the difference between Christianity today and the truth. Christianity today is I'm a good person. And, I like today because today's going okay for me. That's Christianity today. Real Christians, real Christianity is we're tried to build us up in our faith and we're to expect attacks. And were to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and carry His cross. That's Christianity today. But someday, no man will take your joy. Because of the fallen nature that we have, men steal my joy. They really do. They still do, of course. At work, I have several bosses. They'll question something. Yet, thank you. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You guys saw that? That was not the Holy Spirit. Well, we will see Jesus and have eternal joy. And these verses mean so much to me. I had to do this study. Okay, Philippians, please, if you'll turn there. Somebody's guessing out there. Philippians. Okay. Stole thunder, but that's okay. Starting in verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet, what I shall choose, I want not. There's a woodpecker outside the wall there. I thought it was Dan. I was going to slap your knee. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart. Paul wanted to depart. That's okay to want to depart. Paul was going through some things. And to be with Christ. He wanted to be with his Savior. And no doubt any of his loved ones. Which is far better. 24 says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You see, Paul said, I have to stay to accomplish the Father's will. Just as the cross was the joy set before our Lord, Paul's joy was to stay and help those who he could help. Philippians 1, 21 through 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide in continuance with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Paul knew. Paul had faith, knowing that everything he did was eternal. He hung on to. Everything you do in the Lord, you keep. You keep. So the Lord had Paul, even though he was in the strait and he wanted to kind of leave, he was fine staying because he knew he could keep everything that he did for the Lord. And he wanted only to do for the Lord. And when we get to heaven, we're only going to do for the Lord. So Christians, Bible Baptist Church, get used to it. Life is about Christ and not about us. The challenge in your heart today should be for each one of us, there's no excuse here, that should be your desire. And I guarantee you're struggling with that a little bit. Because if you think you ain't, you're already going there. Come on, brothers. Come on, sisters. Tough stuff. John 11, if you'll turn there. One more and I could go on. What a wonderful book. God just kept giving blessings to us. He knew what we needed, so he poured his truthful words out saying, Bill's going to need this, and Bill's going to need this, and Bill's going to need this. That's how much he loves us. John 11, 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? That's the question. That's the question of the day. You believe it? If you're struggling with that today, you're in the flesh. If you're filled with the Spirit, these words feel very good to you today. This should feel good. This should be the reason why you came. You need comfort. You need joy. You need reality. Hopefully these verses have encouraged you in any future trials that you may have coming or that you've been through or are going through. Because this is what I was drawn to help me. And there'll be more coming. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you for Bible Baptist Church. I want to pray a special blessing on our pastor today. give him power and strength as he is preaching at Pastor Bowman's church. I pray for their assembly members, and I pray that they will see the truths of your word, and change lives will come from it. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.